And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the city of King David's birth, in the city of the shepherd boy who became king of Israel after Saul, there was another royal birth. A new life came forth in a city where Sarah was laid to rest. Sarah, wife of Abraham, she whom Jeremiah said during the exile, wept for her children because they were no more. A new life was born in that same Bethlehem that would wipe away all tears. And before this little one, sorrow and sighing would flee away. In Bethlehem, a town the name of which means the house of bread, one would be laid in a manger, quite literally a feed trough, who would one day speak of himself as the bread of life. One was laid in a manger who would tell the world that they must eat of him. In Bethlehem, the city of David, where the millennia-old practice of keeping sheep still persisted, the Lamb of God was born, and the first ones to hear about it were themselves shepherds and the tenders of sheep. In this sleepy but significant little town, the biggest news ever to be pronounced to the world was pronounced in a nearby field to shepherds who kept their sheep in caves overnight, who slept at the opening of the cave, using themselves as the doorway. A proclamation was made that he who would call himself one day the Good Shepherd and the Door, this one had finally been born. How interesting then that St. Luke, who tells the glorious story that we hear today, does not rush to exuberance. While a story is told of the message that literally comes down from the clouds of heaven, nevertheless, feet are firmly planted on the ground. And listen anew then to that message that is preached and hear how many mundane facts are given before the message of the glory of God that fills that place. In those days, there was a census declared by Caesar Augustus. Can you believe that the story of such significance as this begins with taxes? Quirinius was governor of Syria. Who in the world is Quirinius? How did he get his name into a story like this? Luke includes that name as a historical reference point. Joseph went up from Galilee, from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be enrolled because he was in David's line and this was David's town. Okay, Joseph and several thousand other people also. It was a census where you had to return to the place of your house and lineage to be counted. Mary was pregnant. And her time came, so she delivered the child. Of course. What would you expect after 9 months of pregnancy? She wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger, still mundane. You could say, no doubt, this is not what she had imagined when she had carried that child for 9 months. Nevertheless, here we are. This is what we have. Okay. And in that region, there were shepherds. Of course, there were shepherds. It was Bethlehem. This is the area where they raised the sheep that would be used at the temple in Jerusalem, just a few miles away. So naturally, there were shepherds. All right, all right. Then something happened. Then the fireworks began. An angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. But up to that moment, nothing had happened that would have caught anyone's attention. This was a humble family, a humble journey, a humble stable, a humble birth, normal shepherds, no headline news. Until the angel of the Lord appeared and the glory of God shone like the sun in this nighttime vision to these overseers of sheep. Now something was happening. And notice, they were not curious, they were not puzzled or interested. They were not strangely warmed. They were not nostalgic. They were filled with fear. Everything was normal, relatively mundane, boring even, and then into the midst of the mundane was the radiating light of the glory of God. And from the midst of that glory came a message, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Can we say that the shepherds understood that message? I would say hardly. Did they know that the prophet Micah had said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem? Did these shepherds know what any of the prophets had said? We can't be sure, but of one thing we can be sure. The glory of God came into their midst in such a way that it seemed the fabric of heaven and earth was torn, rent asunder, and the message of God was coming from that tear. And then a funny thing is said. Shepherds who are being visited by angels and a heavenly host singing glory to God in the highest, who are already having a once-in-a-lifetime miraculous experience and vision to be envied by all humanity ever since, are told that they would soon see something that would be a sign to them, a baby wrapped in cloths. You wouldn't want to argue with angels, but you would think that if anything was going to stand as a sign, it would be not a baby in swaddling cloths, which would be a very common sight, I would say, in pretty much any town. Instead, the appearance of angels and the glory of God shining like beams of light in the darkness, you would think that the glory of God would be the sign. How many of us at times in our lives wish for a sign from God, that the skies would open, and that the glory of God would illumine the dark night of this life, and that the audible voice of God would be heard telling us what to do. But the angels don't perceive themselves that way. The angels and the light and the heavens opening were simply bringing good tidings of great joy that in the city of David, Christ the Lord is born. That's what was happening. All those wonders were sent only as the heralding of the real message. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in little bits of cloth, lying in a manger. That will be a sign to you. And what is the sign? A signature of. The glory of God has come to dwell among us. The salvation of God will be found amidst the mundane. The sign that this is true, you will find that babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. That's a sign. In the last 2,000 years, many millions of Christian pilgrims have made the journey to Israel and taken a path to Bethlehem to see the place where the shepherds were, to imagine that angelic heavenly host, to see the place where Jesus was born, and the ancient church that was built over it, and which has stood now for 1,700 years, with parts of it still functioning as the oldest operational church in the world, continuously operating. But as significant as that place may have been, something will occur to you there in that little spot. This is small. This is humble. A giant structure was built upon the tiny cave, but this could have been anywhere. What happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago is the glory of God, Emmanuel, God with us, breaking in at a specific time, at a specific place, but you didn't miss much by not being there at that time and in that place. Christmas is the Mass of Christ, the Feast of the Incarnation, and we acknowledge especially tonight that a new reality has not come briefly and then passed away and you missed it. Instead, we acknowledge that the kingdom of God has come and is here to stay. The glory of God does not reside in Bethlehem alone many centuries ago. This Christmas, the wondrous reality of the incarnation is not something to be learned about only in theological textbooks or even the Bible. This Christmas, the awe and wonder of simple people who have seen a great light is not a distant memory or an exercise in imagination. We are those people. The great light shines on us even now. And the Messiah, who is wrapped in swaddling clothes, is present with us in his body, the church. He is present in the sacraments he has left us. He is present on our altars. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, therefore, glory be to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.